Good morning. It is lovely to be here with you today at Liberty Church and to be able to be part of your service. My name is Dave Bremner. I am the regional leader for TLG in Scotland. I have been for 3 years, and it's been my privilege to take the church here on this journey of getting into the school starting this week. It's really exciting to be here and to see the way that God has been at work over the last 18 months, I think, is the length of this journey. But to be getting started and to be getting going here in Dunfermline is fantastic. If you don't know the story of TLG, it stands for Transforming Lives for Good. We are a Christian charity working with churches to impact the lives of young people and families and support them in their education. The story started in the mid-90s in Bradford. If you have a memory of the mid-90s, you may recall it wasn't a particularly good time to be a young person. There was lots and lots of struggles for young people and very little provision. And a church in Bradford had set up a very successful youth ministry. On Friday nights, the church was jumping and bouncing with young people, and it was a fantastic outreach. And that youth worker, who did a great work during the weekend, was doing what most youth workers do during the week, sitting in his office, not doing very much. Today it would be Facebook, he probably would have been on. But he was sitting, maybe recovering and preparing for the weekend that was coming. And suddenly a knock came to his door. And it was one of these young people from the Friday night club. And so he invited the young person in, and they sat and they had a chat for an hour, and they got to know just all of the things that were going on in that young person's lives. And about 45 minutes into the conversation, the youth worker had a sudden epiphany. He realized, this boy's not supposed to be here. He's supposed to be in school. And for those last 15 minutes, the conversation started to close up because he felt very uncomfortable, and he didn't know how to broach the subject of, shouldn't you be in school? So the young person left, and the youth worker got on the phone and phoned the school and said, look, I've just had Ewan in. He's been here for the last hour. We've just been chatting, but he's supposed to be in school, isn't he? And the school said, no, actually, well, he's been excluded. We don't see very much of him. I said, well, what? The youth worker said, well, what am I supposed to do in that situation if they come in? Where am I supposed to be sending them? You know, should I send them back to you, or what should I do? And the school said, if you can get them to sit still for an hour and listen, then you can have them. And so that's what happened. More and more of these young people who were wandering the streets doing very little during the school days because of they had been excluded started to come into this church. And the church decided that what they needed to do was to set up a school within the church to educate these young people. So they set up a pupil referral unit, and that was the beginning of TLG. A school that would take young people who had been permanently excluded from mainstream education and work with them for 6 weeks, for 3 months, for 6 months, and try and integrate them back into mainstream education. Not so that they could get their whole education at this unit, but so that we could start the steps of moving them back to where they're supposed to be, getting an education within schools. That was 20 years ago. Over the next 10 years, pupil referral units were springing up in churches all across England, being led by TLG. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, the organisation had another epiphany. And they thought, isn't it great the work that's being done in schools and the work that we're able to do with these 14, 15, 16-year-olds, but how much better would it be if we could work with them at an earlier age and they never got excluded in the first place? So that we didn't have to reintegrate them back into mainstream, but we gave them the skills to stay there in the first place. And so we set up another project called Early Intervention, where we would train volunteer coaches within the local church to go into primary schools and secondary schools and to work with the young people at the very early stages and give them the skills and give them the security and the stability that they need in their daily school life in order to thrive and achieve. And we've seen that grow so much throughout the UK. And then just this year, we had another project start, a project called Make Lunch, which you just got an overview of there. You will probably have heard of Make Lunch before because it gets an awful lot of media attention. Towards the end of the summer, it was on the 6 o'clock news on many an occasion, getting updates as to how this issue of holiday hunger is being combated. And just before the summer, TLG absorbed this much smaller charity that was called Make Lunch, and it is now a TLG project which we run, running lunch kitchens, lunch clubs all across the UK for families who would otherwise be struggling to feed their children during that holiday time. They would be getting free school meals when they're at school, but then they come to the holiday period and children are going hungry. And actually, parents are going hungry because they're choosing to feed their children instead of themselves. And so this is another project that we are starting to see grow across the UK. In Scotland, TLG has grown massively as well. In the last 3 years, since I first came into the post three years ago, there were two coaches in schools across Scotland, two up in Aberdeen. We've trained over 200 coaches in those 3 years, and we're starting to see it take shape and be recognised across the country, which is fantastic. So we're doing well, it would seem. So it seems to be what I'm getting from your facial expressions. You're nodding along and smiling, which means I think you're with me. We're doing well. Things are starting to take shape. But, you know, the problems are still here. 205,000 children are excluded from school in the UK every single year. 205,000 children that the schools say, we just don't know what to do. We need a break. We need you to go away for a little while we get our act together, or while you get your act together. You know, these are the conversations that are happening in schools, and young people are being left excluded on the margins with no one to help them. Nearly 36,000 primary age children are excluded from school every year, almost 7,000 of which are under 7 years old. Before they're reaching into primary two and primary three, they're having to deal with this issue of being excluded. One in five children facing food insecurity in our country today, not knowing if when they open the kitchen cupboard, there's going to be anything in there to eat. Having that horrible feeling as they leave school and their tummy's starting to rumble that they don't know if they're going to get a meal. In Scotland, that is an issue that is only growing. One in four children living in poverty in Scotland at the moment, expected to increase to one in three by 2020 if things carry on the same traction. And so there's lots of work to do. And TLG know that we cannot do this on our own. And so we don't even try to. We know that the hope of the world is not TLG. It's not charities. It's not schools. It's not local authorities. We know that the hope of the world is the local church. We know that that is what God has established on this earth in order to advance his kingdom. The local church, who will be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, who will show his love so that when they see the church working well, they will see Jesus. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for churches who are willing to come alongside us and say, we're going to help you deal with this problem. And then we'll say, what are you willing to do? And what we want when we say, what are you willing to do, is we want you to say, whatever it takes. We're willing to do whatever it takes to sort this problem. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing churches bring a hope and a future to struggling children. 13 education centres, 13 schools being set up in churches across the UK. 62 churches feeding children like Macy through Make Lunch Clubs. And 364 church volunteers helping children like Luke. Churches willing to say whatever it takes. I wonder if I was to ask you if there's anyone in your life that just embodies that phrase. There's just someone who's willing to do whatever it takes. I wonder who you would think of. They're the kind of person that walks that fine line between stubborn and determined. You're never quite sure what line they're falling on. You see them, my dad is a tradesman, and you see people who are willing to do whatever it takes on these kind of work sites all the time. People who just defy logic just to get the job done. I'm going to paint that window, even if it means balancing on a flimsy bit of wood 20 stories in the air. Or sometimes you might find a friend willing to help you do whatever it takes to get that job done. Or you might have the right tools in order to balance. You might put your faith in the things around about you to get the job done. People are willing to do crazy things to get the job done. And sometimes you might have friends willing to give you a hand to do whatever it takes. You know, when I think about people who are were willing to do whatever it takes, my mind goes to Mark chapter 2. And we read in Mark chapter 2 about four fine, faithful friends. And they hear the news that Jesus has returned to Capernaum. And they are so excited because they know that Jesus is able to help them. And when they hear that Jesus is home, they decide that they are going to come and see him. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 2, many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he, Jesus, was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they'd made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And they came bringing to him that paralytic. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." These friends, they recognized the problem. They saw their friend who could not walk, who had no quality of life, who was literally trapped in his body. And 2,000 years ago, that meant that he had no quality of life whatsoever. And they knew this problem, and they knew the one that had the answer to the problem, and they knew that that was Jesus. They knew that he was the one who would be able to help. And so they set about bringing their friend to Jesus. And they got there to Jesus, to the house that Jesus was in, and they had their first problem, which was that they couldn't get near him. I wonder what you would do in that situation. I'll be honest. My first thought would be, I'll try again later. I'll come back tonight when it's maybe a bit quieter, or I'll come back early tomorrow morning. Not these guys. They knew the severity of the problem, and they knew that Jesus had the answer. And so they were going to do whatever it took to bring their friend to Jesus. And so they climbed up to the roof and they started to dig through the roof. You know, the amount of times I've heard this story taught to children, and it's taught that they moved the palm leaves on the roof and there was Jesus peeking in, peeking from down below. That's not how it went. These buildings were thick, sturdy buildings. They had to dig. They had to put effort in to getting into this house. And so they worked hard to get through that roof in order to get to Jesus. This house belonged to someone. This was someone's roof. We quite often forget that, don't we? This house belonged to someone. It wasn't Jesus. He had nowhere to lay his head. It wasn't Jesus' house, but it was someone's house. And they were built digging right through the roof. I wonder if when you are in your beautiful new building, the beginning of the year, say that with faith for you, next year, and you have your first service and it's packed out and you've nowhere to move, even the foyer is absolutely packed. And as the sermon's being preached and as the gospel's being proclaimed, suddenly you hear a window getting smashed up above and there's a little head that peeks through and someone's standing there saying, "Just want to hear what's going on. Just want to hear the message." You'd be livid, wouldn't you? Now, do you know what that window cost? Do you know how many Saturday mornings I had to come to put these windows in? You'd probably be livid, but you shouldn't be. Because this man knows the worth of what's being spoken about. This man knows the one that's being proclaimed here. He knows that it's worth smashing a window for. He knows that it's worth digging through a roof. Because Jesus is the answer. And we should be willing to do whatever it takes to bring people to Jesus. We should be willing to make a sacrifice. What sacrifice are we willing to bring Jesus to those who are in our communities? These men were willing to do anything. They had faith that Jesus had the power to heal and the power to forgive. And Jesus saw their faith, is what the Bible says. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Because faith brings forgiveness. Faith is the only thing that God asks us to have. It's the only thing he wants us to have, to put our faith and our trust in him, to come to him in repentance and faith, and to believe that he has the power to do great things. Man that I love to read and listen to an old Bible teacher called J. Vernon McGee. And he wrote or said, the only limitation to God's omnipotence is unbelief. The only thing that will definitely stop God from doing something is if you don't believe he can. We need to have our faith in God. We need to believe that he is able to transform the lives of these young people and families that are struggling in our communities. To know that it's not going to be by our own might or by our own strength, by our own power, but through his power. And through everything that he is and everything that his son has done for us, it is through faith that forgiveness comes. And the scribes were sitting there and they heard Jesus say these things and they said, why does he have to talk like this? Why can't he just do the miracles? Why can't he just help people? Why does he have to talk about forgiveness of sins? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know, these Pharisees were so wrong. But they were so right at the same time. They were right. No one can forgive sins but God alone. But they didn't realize who Jesus was. They didn't realize that he was both fully God and fully human. They didn't realize that when he did these miracles, he was showing a kingdom that was going to come. A kingdom where people wouldn't have to worry about their mobility or their disabilities or their illness or being hungry. They wouldn't have to worry about these things anymore, because in God's kingdom, these are not issues. These are not worries. And we're wanting to bring God's kingdom into the lives of the children and the families that are around about us. And that will only happen. They'll only see that change. We'll only experience real transformation if we have faith that God can do it and if they put their faith in Jesus Christ as well. TLG is a great starting point for building relationships with family. But the hour a week in the session doesn't bring real transformation. It doesn't bring salvation. It's a starting point. And as a church, we need to be thinking, how do we bring people to faith? How do we bring all of these relationships that we're forming? And how do we disciple? And how do we nurture? And how do we make sure that they're going to hear the gospel? And what are we willing to do to bring families to Christ? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? It's a fantastic start that's been made here at Liberty. We're so excited to hear about everything that's going to be happening over the next year as you guys get established. And we'll be praying for you. And we'll be praying that as we speak about the church in Liberty, serving the needs of the families in Dunfermline, that we will recognize that you are people willing to do whatever it takes. One of my friends is a person called Joe, who's the national training coordinator for TLG down in Bradford. And she started with her first coached young person maybe 2 years ago, a young girl called Ruby. And she had a great time speaking to Ruby in the sessions, but she really wanted to build links with the family. She wanted to get to know the mum. And so she would send texts every week and mum wouldn't reply. She'd send emails, mum wouldn't reply. She'd phone, mum wouldn't pick up the phone. And so one day she decided, I'm going to go. And so she went down to Morrison's and she picked up a bouquet of flowers and she went to the front door and she dropped the bouquet of flowers there with a little note and she left it. She didn't even ring the bell. And she turned around, here was the mum coming in. And at that, when she saw the flowers, a beautiful relationship started between Joe and Ruby's mum. A relationship that might never have happened if she had said, you know what, I've tried. I've texted, it didn't work. I've emailed, it didn't work. I've phoned, it didn't work. She was willing to do whatever it takes. And so she started to invest in the life not only of Ruby, but of her mum as well. And we've got a little video to show you Ruby's story and the story of her mum as well. Thank you so much for having me this morning. It's been my privilege.